Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Welcome you. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're listening by radio or watching on Facebook, we welcome you and encourage you to be much in prayer for our service today. Lord, we'll be done. First and foremost, but the Lord's will be done. In the way of announcements this morning, of course, consult your bulletins, but of note, this week, monthly business meeting will be this week and Wednesday night, and men's prayer breakfast is coming Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. There will be a deacon's meeting tomorrow night at 6 in the pastor's study, and immediately following the service, we'd like the VBS workers, everybody that's already committed or would like to work in VBS to meet over in the sanctuary immediately after the service this morning. We much prayer for Brother Don as he comes to give us the message the Lord's given him. Bow with me as we pray now. Father, thank you again for this day and feelings for many blessings. We ask for your leadership, Father. May the Holy Spirit be in our presence. May he, Father, be in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Father, everything that's done here be done your will. And be done to glorify you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your mercy that we are not receiving the punishment we deserve. Thank you for your grace that we've been promised something, Father, far greater than we could imagine. And it's only because of your love that you've given it to us. Father, we look to you, those who are on our prayer list this morning, those who have been added in the Sunday school hour. We lift to you those who are bereaved, Father, those who are recovering from surgery, and those, Father, who are fighting a battle with their health. Help us each one, Father, to gather around them and comfort them and help them as much as we can. Father, to pray for one another, because that has been your command, that we should consider others more than ourselves. Lift one another up in prayer. And Father, to love one another as you have loved us. We thank you and praise you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. If you would like to take a hymnal and stand and sing with us, you can turn to page 140 as we sing Down at the Cross.
Thank you.
this morning. And if you want to flip back another page or two to 134, and we'll see Jesus paid it all.
Thank you. She is very sad. She is not with me. But how many of you are Christian? It's for us, for you and I. A mess. Oh, that God would give us a burning heart for souls. I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more his. But his word was like in my heart. Oh, that our hearts would be set afire for the God. Said of November 23rd. 1654, it was a night of fire. When he came to accept Jesus, said the need for the church today is men whose hearts are set on fire. Oh God, give us a burning heart for the gospel, a burning heart to witness, to evangelize. Look with me, we're going to look in Romans chapter 1. Look with me at verse 15. Paul said, so as much as in me, I'm ready to preach. I am prothumon euangelizo. Gelizo is evangelize in the first person. I want to be a witness. And when he said, I am ready, prothumon, I am burning. There is a passion in my heart to be a witness, to be a soul winner. And every one of us that know Jesus Christ ought to have that fire within us. We ought to desire to tell people. People are dying and going to hell. We've got to face. So I pray that God would speak to your heart and give each and every one of us for soul winning. How does that come about? We're going to look at this passage beginning in verse 15 or 13, for heart for souls. Father, I pray you would speak to our hearts. Sitting in the rut. But God, call us out of the rut. Lord, set our hearts afire and send us out the fervor of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let us rescue the perishing. Need a heart for soul winning, for witnessing. So the Apostle Paul writes here, and in verse 13 he said, now I want you to know, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among other Gentiles. Paul said, there is a call from above me. Paul said, I'm to you, but the call of God said, here's the Macedonian call, come this way. He said, I'm following the call of God. Well, listen, all of you who said you are born again, you know Christ is Savior. There's a call upon your life. You are called to win the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're called to be leading people to the Lord. Paul said, I'm led of God. Are you seeking God's will daily? Seek God's will. I promise you, God will lead. And he'll take you places that you hadn't planned. It happens by coincidence. It's a divine appointment. God puts you there as he leads you. Is God leading your life? Answer the call of God upon your life. We are called to serve, and we are called to share, and we are called to sow the gospel. Look what he said in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Look at verse 6. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. We are called out of the church and into the world. God didn't call us to sit soaking sour on a pew in a Sunday service. But we're called to get out. Are you getting out? Oh, God, set my heart afire. Let me hear the call upon my life as a witness. I had a deacon say to me one time, years ago in my church in Texas, we're talking about going witnessing. I said, well, if you're a deacon, especially if you're a deacon of the week, you're going knocking on doors and sharing. He said, I'll tell you, I'll go witnessing when God tells me to go witnessing. I said, you ever heard the verse, go ye therefore into the world? Yeah, go ye. We call it the Great Commission. And among Baptists, it's become the Great Omission. And it leaves the church with no mission. But we've replaced it with commotion. We've got a lot of things going on in our church. I mean, there's something almost every night, and we're doing this. To a lost and dying world with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This saves. Oh, God didn't save you just to sit soaking sour. He's called you who you are. He knows where you are. And He knows when you are. You're living in the time you're living because God intended you to be here. I'm 75 years old. I'm living in grace. My sin is over with. And people, great heroes, had died, many of them, before they ever got to 75. And so, Lord, you've left me here for this time, for this purpose, maybe for each today and that only. But Lord, for this time, you have called me, commissioned me, placed me, Christ, to a lost and dying world, and to call the church out of the rut and into the reality of being the witness He's called us. Wake up, church. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. So first, we ought to be set afire for the gospel because it's from above us. But look at verse 14. Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. We ought to be soul winning because there's a crowd around me. Everywhere you go, there are lost folk. We always said, the easiest place to backslide is in Bible college, in seminary. Because you go to a Christian church and you have all your Christian friends and everybody around you is Christian, your dog's Christian. I mean, we need to get out of the rut and get out to where the people are. We need to be the light into the... And there is a crowd around us. People are lost. We are to go to all people. We have a debt. We are obligated to be the witness to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the foolish, to the religious and the irreligious, to the Muslim, to the Mormon, to the modern. Called to go to them with the message that Jesus saves. In Gen X today, the generation Gen X or Gen Z's, 35% of teenagers today profess atheism. It's not that they're not believing. They profess atheism. The need to witness is drastic. All around us, we are losing this nation we call a Christian nation because we're letting it be overtaken without opening our mouths. And yet that's what God's called us to do. We have an obligation. 85% of young adults, 35 and younger, church is atypical. I grew up, church was expected. You're going to church. But now, I had a pastor call me a few years ago, and he said, well, 10 years ago, I'd vacation Bible school, we'd have 120 kids. I put a sign out now in Vacation Bible School, we can barely get 20. Well, let me tell you, the parents of those, that age group of 6 to 12-year-olds, those parents are 35, 36, 37 years of age. And they grew up with church not being in their life. It was atypical. Their children are not coming. I was telling them, we were driving across town. I was doing a revival for him. And pulled up to a red light. And over here on this corner, a Baptist church. And on the marquee, it said, VBS. And underneath it, it said, that's all it said. And over here on this corner was a big building. And it said, CVS. Now, I said, you got to understand that VBS have no clue what it is. It's in Georgia. But they all know what CVS is. That's a drugstore everywhere. We're losing the identity of Christ around us. We need to go to a world. The crowd is going to hell, and we don't care. There is a debt we owe. Having been saved by grace, we are now debtors to our salvation. And there is a duty that we must tell. It is sin not to speak. It is sin to share with the people God brings into our life. Indifferent to the lost man's indifference because he's dead. Lost people are dead. And so they're not going to get excited about this. Just put it, amen on it. Amen. All right. Oh, we need to witness this duty we have. 3:7 says, so you, O son of man, I have you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. I have the words of life, and it's appointed unto men to die. That's a fact. And after this, the judgment. So everybody's going to die, and those who die without Christ have no hope if we don't give them the hope. We ought to be winning souls. I like how Jesus said, go in the highways and hedges and compel them, persuade them to come, urge them to come into the house of God. We've got friends that are going to hell, and we just say, well, they'll probably go to hell. And it doesn't bother us to think about it. A call from above me, there's a crowd around me, and there is a crown before me. Look what he says in verse 15. For as I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Paul uses some illustrations over and over. He uses one of a farmer, he uses one of a soldier. He also now ready, the word ready is the word that would be used. On your mark, ready, go. And that's it. You hear the word ready. You see that guy fixing to run the race. His feet are in the block. And he says ready. And he comes up and every muscle is tense. And he's ready to shoot out at the word go. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know what the mark is? It's the word post. I run for the post. But at the end of that race, there was a post. And on top of that post was a cheap crown woven out of laurels. But the fastest one down there would snatch the crown. And then he would come and stand before the bema. He would stand before the judgment seat and receive the rewards. For we're running a race here, and if we're going to run it, let's run to win. Souls, there is a crown set before me. He's ready to run the race. On your mark, run for the post. Grab the crown. Listen to chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. There is a reward for being a soul winner. Well, now, Brother Don, I'll tell you. I'm not witnessing to try to win some crown or something. Kind of guy. It's not what it's... Don't you understand? What is our crown? It's others we take with us to heaven. It's the people we win. Matter of fact, that's what the Word says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord and His coming? For you are our joy, our glory, and our joy. So it's not a crown, it's people you win to Christ. All Christians will never lead a single soul to Christ. They'll live their whole life having the grace of God, the free gift of God, the knowledge of Christ living within them and never share it. That's criminal. Ought to be locked up and put away for not telling people about the free gift of eternal life in Christ. Oh, we ought to be soul winners. God set our heart afire to be soul winners, to tell somebody. Why? Because there's a call from above me. There's a crown before me. There's a crowd around me. All the reason we ought to be witnessing and sharing our faith. But look what he says in the next verse, verse 16. Came to the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, I'm not ashamed. Listen, understand something. Call from above, crowd around, crown before, but there is a catastrophe beneath me. Hell is real. Jesus died on the cross. The righteous, sinless Son of God died and arose from the tomb. Because people dying without the free grace of God will spend an eternity in a burning hell. I believe it. It's biblical. Why would God send His only begotten Son to die if the consequences were not so great? We've got this ideal, well, now, hell's not as bad as it used to be, Brother Don, you know. By now, there's like a lot of technicians and compare. They probably air-conditioned it. There's probably air-conditioned water coolers. Water coolers everywhere you look, and, you know, it's just not. Hell is unimaginable. The rich man died and was buried, and lifting up his eyes in hell, seeing Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, cried out, "Have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water, the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue." That's how tormented he was. Hell's just that real. We're trying to get away from that. I don't want to go to no church that preaches hell and stuff. I had a professor that instead of saying hell, he would say what? Eternal perdition. Walk up to the man on the street and tell him, listen, without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go into eternal perdition. I thought I was going to hell. You are. Hell's real. Jesus Christ died. All that ought to motivate us. I want you to know something. Sweet little old ladies who never accepted Christ, sweet little old men who don't know this, are going to die and split hell wide open. They're doing it every day. You will die and split hell wide open. Well, what is the age of accountability? Well, now you get over there with complaining about God sparing the city of Nineveh, and the Lord says to him, should I 20,000 who don't know their right from their left? How old do you have to be as a child to understand the difference? Now you're accountable. Oh, there's a world out there. We're sending missionaries all around the world to tell people who've never heard, and yet we go to work, we go to school, we shop with, we live with people who've never heard the gospel because we've never told them. God's five is call us out of our dead complacency. Call us off of the pew, onto our feet, into the street with the gospel of Jesus. Why? Hell is real. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of salvation from what? Damnation. Damnation. The wrath and the judgment of God. Oh, the terror of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said it this way. Verse 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're all going to, it's not a judgment of eternal life and eternal death. It's a judgment of your life of service. It's full to God. Look what verse 11 says. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and also trust we are well known. Knowing the terror of the Lord. That's the wrath of God upon those who die rejecting His gift. The Son of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. The terror of the Lord. He says that's what moves us about, not preached about, not spoken about in church. Let me tell you, you take hell out of the church, you take the fire out of the church. It's the blood that was shed on that cross that purchased my salvation. Oh, God, help us to open our mouths knowing the terror. We persuade men. That's a passionate appeal. Call to make a decision, to make a choice. Because here's what we know. For God so loved the world, He sent His Son into the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. And God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world. But he that believeth not is condemned all for in it. That is in the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it rose from the grave and lives today, ever interceding. That's the gospel. In it, the righteousness of God. We could never be righteous. There is in me nothing righteous. Dwelleth no good thing. I'm unrighteous. Oh, we need to see how Jesus suffered, of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Probably still didn't come near the reality. Flesh hanging off of His back. Thorns, the suffering, the pain, the anguish as He died on that cross. Propitiation. That it means that as He died on that cross, the anger, the judgment, the wrath of God toward my sin was vented out upon Jesus hanging on the cross. And so now I can come into the presence of a holy God and cry, Abba, 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 Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Because there's no nine of us. Six. Gary Allen, get in here. I'm going to whoop you. And I'd go to her and I'd say, no, you just stand right there. You line up. I'm whooping all of you. Guiltier or worse than he was. In it, we see the righteousness of God. He lives that I may live. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that those who live should no longer live to themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. We ought to live for Christ. That's our message. He gave His all for me. How many times I want to just get up and walk out, but no, I endured. Oh yeah, we've got it rough. Christ, I'm burning to evangelize. A couple guys stopped by one of his businesses. My daddy had a goal in life. Two guys showed up and they said they want to talk to him about something.
It's slave.
And my daddy said, that didn't count. That did not count.
It was his last words he ever spoke. Are you saved? Oh God, to live to be a witness, to seize every opportunity, to share the gospel, the grace, the mercy, the gift of Jesus Christ with a world that's dying and going to hell. It's the only way we're going to change things. We have the power. We have the commission. We have the charge upon our lives. Oh God, set my heart afire for souls. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First and foremost, do you know for certain if you died today, heaven's your home? Not hope, wish, think, or oughta, but you can say with a certainty, I'm saved, born again, and heaven is my home. If not, why don't you do something right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. In the quietness of your own heart, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross. But in this hour, I believe you died for me on that cross. So I turn from sin and self, and I turn to you. And I ask you for forgive me of sin and save me, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you just prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant it, I want you to look up at me. Brother Don, I just prayed it, did you, ma'am? And you meant it? Just look up long enough for eyes to meet. Not going to embarrass you. Not going to call you out. Did you pray it? Anyone else? Oh, that you would tell somebody about that today. But church, Christ is calling us to be the witness He saved us to be. We're going to stand for our hymn of appeal. As I pray, this altar is open. Won't you come today in a time of commitment and dedication to be the witness God's calling you to be? Father, here we are. We ask you, Lord, to just do a work in our hearts and lives. God, change us. Lord, let us see all the reasons. The call above, the crowd around, the crown before, the catastrophe beneath, and the cross behind it should motivate us to share our faith. Every one of us, Lord, is about to make a decision. I pray the decision that I make and each and every one of us make is in perfect alignment to your will for our lives. The music plays, the altar is open. Come and join these others on the altar, won't you? In a time of renewal and recommitment. I don't want to leave unchanged. You come to hear the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Won't you just come? Time of renewal, recommitment. You'll be able to resist, but oh, that you wouldn't. Oh, that you would surrender to God's will, God's purpose for your life. If somebody you know that's lost, bring them to the altar now. Not physically, but just in a prayer commitment. Lay them on the altar. Father, have your will be glorified. Set our hearts afire, Lord, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glorified today, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you for inviting me to be back with you. We're praying for you. Praying for the shepherd that the Lord will lead here. Shepherd the flock. Lead the flock. And to see this church continue to grow and become a great light on this hill to this community. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you again for your love, your goodness, and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you not only would save us, but you would call us to the glorious mission of making Jesus Christ known to a lost and dying world. Father, I pray that you would just revive the hearts of the people and you'd be lifted up in every heart and every life. And Lord, because of decisions made here today, heaven might be multiplied and Jesus might be glorified. In His precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.